Do you have enough money to retire? Are you already retired and wondering if you have enough money to outlast you? Are you Gen X or Millennial and not sure if you even need to be thinking about this stuff yet? No matter which category, this episode is for you.
Let's peek inside the mind of a boomer. This is Boomer Randomness, a podcast dedicated to the baby boom generation, with random observations about boomer life from boomers, including topics like music, movies, memories, marriage and divorce, retirement, bucket lists, kids and grandkids, travel, and a whole lot more. Here's your boomer host, Bernie Lucas.
A record number of people are turning 65 this year. Retirement is in their heads and already in their lives in some cases, and with that, financial issues become a dominant issue. So in this episode, we're getting some financial insight from Lisa Kirschenbauer, founder of Omega Wealth Management. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, Bernie. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. We used to do this, talk about boomer stuff on the radio years and years ago.
Yeah.
So the youngest boomers are turning 60 this year. And so for the younger boomers that are, let's say, 60 to 65, so ahead of that magic retirement age, most are not retired yet. They're not drawing Social Security yet. They're not on Medicare yet. What are some things that they should be doing to prepare for their financial future?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm one of those folks. I just turned 61. So I'm at the end of the back end of the boomers. Cool. And so this is really true for me. But as a business owner, things tend to be a little different. What we find with a lot of our clients is that this is the time where they honestly finally start to get serious about retirement. Often because we've been running, you know, planning analysis to see when can they retire, how comfortable they're going to be. But the biggest input we need to know is how much do you think you're going to spend? And so this is when the rubber starts to hit the road. People get more focused. You know, what do they think their retirement expenses are going to be? Because that really drives a lot of how successful you're going to be, i.e. successful, hopefully not run out of money, but live an awesome retirement life. And so it's, you know, before this, people aren't really paying attention. They're making a lot of money often. They're not as worried about money, but then they start to realize, hey, this income spigot's going to change from hot to cold. And so now instead of, you know, putting money in or earning money, now I'm going to start taking out of the portfolio. And often the focus is on the portfolio, but it all your success depends on what you're going to spend. So I would say that's one of the things that we see the boomers of my age start to focus more on is that. But what I really think we should be focused on is what is that life that you want to live when you do retire? And I put it in air quotes because is it get to the point of financial independence? Is it are you going to sort of downscale your working? This is also the point where a lot of people who are working want to get back to doing what they're good at and stop managing people. So there's a lot to think about, right? There's a lot to think about how you want to end your career, if you do, when you do. You also need to be thinking about sometimes you don't get a choice of when you get to end your career. Either a company decides for you, your health decides for you, the health of other loved ones. So this is the time to get things together, but really thinking about what do I want to do next? If you don't have any hobbies, if you really don't have a life out of work or business, this is the time to focus on it. It's really more important than the money because the money is not going to keep you warm at night. It's not really going to make you happy. But if you can start to think about the life that you, maybe there's a significant other, want to be living, maybe you want to start prototyping different places you want to live. This is the time to do all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a tricky thing, I would think, to figure out, well, not only what kind of life you want to have, but then what it's going to cost you to have that life.
Yeah. And so that's why the prototyping becomes important, Bernie, because, you know, if you can, and ideally we suggest, can you go for 2 weeks, or maybe you're lucky enough to be able to work remotely. You could spend a month there in various locations, find out what the cost of living's like, go to the grocery store, get gas, you know, see the community, how's the healthcare. But if you can't do that, you know, maybe a week or two, but go with the idea that I'm not here for vacation. I'm here as if I was going to live here, and start to get a handle on what those expenses. We, you know, there's an adage when you retire around spending that's a, we call it a smile. And so often what happens is at the very beginning of retirement, you tend to spend more because you're active. It's the go-go period. It's the time where you travel, do a lot of things, maybe have a lot of hobbies. And then you start to slow down the slow go. Yeah. Period. So maybe less traveling, but you know, you still have things going on. And then unfortunately, or for, you know, there is the no-go point where you really are traveling a lot less. Maybe there's a lot more focus on your health. Maybe you're having to spend more on health and medical expenses. And so then the expenses shift from being leisure to perhaps care. And so it's not going to be the same the whole time. But I think if you start to estimate at the go-go period, even if you go from travel to healthcare, that's okay. That at least gives us a sense of what to expect.
We're talking with financial expert Lisa Kirschenbauer, founder of Omega Wealth Management. Going for a little further back in the age thing, at what age should people really start investing for their retirement and their future, and why?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a financial planner. We're always going to say start early, your money's going to compound. So, you know, I was actually just with a group of young adults, 20s and 30s, last night at my church, doing a talk about money and meaning. And we were talking about the idea of starting soon, making it automatic, you won't miss the money. And so, you know, it's a lot easier to start saving and get the habits going early. If you don't do any saving and now you're in your 50s, you know, you've got lifestyle creep up here. It's a lot harder. Now you have to save a lot more. Now it's, you can't let the portfolio do the heavy lifting. You have to do the heavy lifting, right. i.e. you have to save. So the sooner you start, the better. You want to make sure you're getting that free money from your employer if they have a matching, you know, 401k contribution or whatever. But it's just easier when you get those habits started, even if it's a little bit. And, you know, obviously the goal is do a percentage of your income, not a dollar amount, because then as your income goes up, more dollars will get saved.
Right. Yeah, that whole compounding thing was alien to me initially, but I trusted it, and boy, did it make a difference.
It really does.
Yeah, I've kind of read about this trend. Tell me if you see this also, that a lot of people ahead of boomers, so let's say 50 to 55, are like you said, just now starting to think about it. If they're just now starting to actually do something about it, is that kind of late, or you know, what do they do in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, so the answer is it depends. Yeah. It all depends on the life you're trying to craft in retirement. If you're crafting a pretty modest life and you're making a good income and have some discretionary income that you could save, you know, maybe you're going to be okay. Now, you often are in a situation where if you live in a high cost of living area, you know, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, New York, and you haven't saved anything, you may have to move. You may have to relocate to a less expensive place. If you've got equity in your house, you may need to leverage that into making an all-cash purchase in a different market so you don't have a mortgage. You have to get more creative. You might need to work longer, but I know we're going to talk a little bit about required minimum distributions. The reality is we aren't, you know, they've extended the age at which you have to take money out of your retirement plans. And honestly, a lot of boomers are not ready to retire at the old 65. First of all, that's not when you get Social Security. That's only when you qualify for Medicare. You know, I think a lot more boomers are thinking in terms of 70 because that's the maximum Social Security draw age. And, you know, so if you're in your 50s, you've still got some time, but you need to get going.
Boomer randomness.
Money. Get away.
So those of us who are already there, so let's say mid-boomer age, upper 60s to lower 70s, when is that requirement time to start drawing? And what are some things to consider when you're deciding how much?
Right. It's just changed in the last 2 years. And so for many people, it's now age 73. For me, because I'm the end of the boomers, and then younger than I am, it's going to be 75. Now, that's the required minimum distribution. You have to start taking money out because the IRS wants to get some tax revenue. That's what this whole scheme is about. And now you can take it out sooner. You know, it's taxable whether you take it at 70 or you take it at 75. But the other magic age to keep in mind is, let's say you've did a great job saving, you've got large required minimum distributions, maybe you even have a pension or you have some consulting income. And so actually all of this money coming out of your retirement plans is creating a tax problem. The good news is that you can send some of that required minimum distribution off directly to charity and avoid paying taxes on it. Now, you don't get to take a charitable deduction, but you avoid having to report that income. The new maximum amount that can come out of retirement plans and go directly to charity is $105,000. It's a big number. You know, that's not going to be the strategy for many folks. But like we were just talking to two clients today, about to be 97 and wow. 88,
nice.
Hanging in there great. And between the two of them, their required minimum distributions, because they were great savers, $225,000 a year. They don't need that much money because they've also got Social Security. They're just not spending it. So we're sending a good chunk off to the cause of their choice.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. You do something like that all at one time, or you do that over time, monthly or yearly or something?
You know, you do it per year, $105,000 per year.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, in their case, we're going to just do one lump sum. We have other clients where they send, you know, $5,000 here, $10,000 there, $1,000 here. So you can do it in different ways, but it's got to go directly to the charity to avoid it being reported as taxable income.
Right, right. Well, as long as we're at the older end of the boomers here for a moment, what are some things that they can do, we can do to preserve some of those investments?
Yeah, so preserve is always a tricky word when I'm talking to people, because there's the version of preserve, which is that I preserve my capital. The other preserve is I preserve my purchasing power. The solution to those different preservation strategies, it's completely different. So if you're concerned about preserving your capital, you're going to tend to be a little bit more conservative, more bonds and cash, maybe less stock. But the reality is, what we know as financial planners is the thing that's going to undermine your retirement over time, and we've just experienced this in the last few years, is inflation. And if you have everything in bonds, while it's fun to get paid at the bank, you know, 5%, or, you know, have a CD at 5%, that's not going to last. And if inflation is actually at 7 and you're getting 5, that doesn't work either.
Right.
And so, you know, the reality is, when we talk about preserving our portfolio, we really have to walk and chew gum at the same time. We don't want to have a roller coaster ride, especially on the money that we are accessing regularly to support our lifestyle. So we like to have that pot of money be cash and bonds, maybe a little bit of stock, so that it doesn't have a big up and down, a lot of volatility. But you still need a chunk of money that is really growth oriented or pretty growth oriented to have that inflation hedge. And without that, you know, you may not be preserving your money like you think.
Yeah. So tell us about your company. I love the name of it, Omega Wealth Management. That's, you know, I like the wealth part there. And you've had this company.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the fun part. We're a human-centered wealth management company. And what that means, Bernie, is we're all not only certified financial planners, but we are also registered life planners and certified financial transitionists for things like selling a business, retiring, loss of a spouse, that kind of thing. And So the work we do is really holistic. Our goal is to help our clients integrate their values, vision, and wealth for a life without regrets. You know, and a lot of times people defer on planning for the life without regrets until they get retirement. But we all, you know, I think we all know people who never made it to the finish line. Yeah. And so the goal is, how do we start integrating all these things early, not just at retirement, to have that life without regrets? So we're based in Arlington, Virginia, and we take this very human-centered, very personalized approach. You need all the technical wealth management side, insurance, investments, estate planning, along with really the life planning side, having a meaningful life.
Right. Now, you're based in Arlington, Virginia, but are you available in other areas too?
Yeah, we work with clients actually throughout the country. We actually have a couple of clients overseas, you know, expats, but mostly it's either in the you know, the DMV area, yeah. But across the country as well.
Yeah. Any final thoughts or anything else we should be talking about with respect to Boomer financial planning?
You know, I think the key is at some point you probably need to get a thinking partner. Whether you work with a financial planner on an ongoing basis, or you look for somebody you can check in with periodically. But, you know, the time you get to your 50s, you probably at least need to get a snapshot of where you are. Are you on track? What could you fine tune? And then the tricky part is the actual transition to retirement. Like we talked about, the emotional transition, you've probably talked about it on your shows. Yeah. Of you've been saving forever and now people are telling you you've got to spend that money, and it can be very unsettling. And so having that thinking partner to restructure the portfolio, to set yourself up to take income, to get through the emotional hurdle of accessing your portfolio, yeah. The tax planning changes, the insurance planning changes. And so, you know, I think having a guide along the way is really helpful. Don't go it alone forever. At least get a second opinion on how you're doing. And the key is to enjoy the ride. It's not just about the money.
Well, that's a great way to wrap this up. Lisa Kirschenbauer, founder of Omega Wealth Management. Good to see you again after all these years, and appreciate the insight.
Happy to share it. Thank you.
For more information about Lisa's company and services, visit OmegaWealthManagement.com.
Here's what's coming up on Boomer Randomness.
I'm Bernie Lucas. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I post new episodes on Tuesdays. Coming soon, we'll check in with a retired Marylander who lives part-time in Italy.
Learn more about Boomer Life and sign up for episode updates at BoomerRandomness.com. And check us out on the Boomer Randomness Facebook. Okay, Boomer, thanks for listening. And tell everyone you know about Boomer Randomness.